Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The process of meditation should begin from the lotus feet of the Lord and progress to His smiling face. The meditation should be concentrated upon the lotus feet, then the calves, then the thighs, and in this way, higher and higher. The more the mind becomes fixed upon the different parts of the limbs, one after another, the more the intelligence becomes purified. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The process of meditation recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam is not to fix one's attention on something impersonal or void. The meditation should concentrate on the person of the Supreme Godhead, either in His Virat Rup, the gigantic universal form, or in His Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha, as described in the scriptures. There are authorized descriptions of Vishnu forms, and there are authorized representations of deities in the temples. Thus one can practice meditating upon the deity, concentrating his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord and gradually rising higher and higher up to His smiling face. According to the Bhagavad school, the Lord's rasa dancing is the smiling face of the Lord. Since it is recommended in this verse that one should gradually progress from the lotus feet up to the smiling face, we shall not jump at once to understand the Lord's pastimes in the rasa dance. It is better to practice concentrating our attention by offering flowers and tulsi to the lotus feet of the Lord. In this way, we gradually become purified by the archana process. We dress the Lord, bathe Him, etc., and all these transcendental activities help us purify our existence. When we reach the higher standard of purification, if we see the smiling face of the Lord, or hear the rasa dance pastimes of the Lord, then we can relish His activities. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, the rasa dance pastimes are delineated in the 10th canto, chapters 29 to 34. The more one concentrates on the transcendental form of the Lord, either on the lotus feet, the calves, the thighs, or the chest, the more one becomes purified. In this verse, it is clearly stated, the more the intelligence becomes purified, which means the more one becomes detached from sense gratification. Our intelligence in the present condition state of life is impure due to being engaged in sense gratification. The result of meditation on the transcendental form of the Lord will be manifested by one's detachment from sense gratification. Therefore, the ultimate purpose of meditation is purification of one's intelligence. Those who are too engrossed in sense gratification cannot be allowed to participate in archana or to touch the transcendental form of the Radha, Krishna, or Vishnu deities. For them, it is better to meditate upon the gigantic Virat Rup of the Lord. As recommended in the next verse, the impersonalists and the voidists are therefore recommended to meditate upon the universal form of the Lord, whereas the devotees are recommended to meditate on the deity worship in the temple, because the impersonalists and the voidists are not sufficiently purified in their spiritual activities. Archana is not meant for them. Om jnanatimirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shi guruve namaha mukham karoti vachalam pangum langai te girim yat kripatamaham vande shi gurum dinatarinam vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So beautiful verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of all Vedic literature, and It's definitely amazing. So today, when the curtains opened for the deity greeting, I just saw the deities and the outfits they were wearing and the decoration. My mind just said, stunning, you know. It's just stunning. So beautiful, you know, the combination of colors and just so much. It's like, you know, it was stunning, yeah. So Srila Prabhupada is telling us here in the purport that the process of meditation should begin from the lotus feet of the Lord and progress to his smiling face. And the meditation should be concentrated upon the lotus feet, then the calves, and then the thighs, and in this way higher and higher. And the more the mind becomes fixed upon the different parts, the different limbs of the Lord, one after another, the more one's intelligence becomes purified. So there are 12 cantos in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's recommended that one start with the first canto, which is considered to be like the lotus feet of the Lord, and then gradually progress up to the 10th canto, which is the brilliant shining face of Krishna, and then on. So Prabhupada was mentioning in the purport that some unscrupulous persons, they immediately like to jump to the 10th canto, especially the rasa dance, you know. So without becoming purified, they just want to get into the activities of rasa dance. But it's not recommended because they haven't yet purified their consciousness. Shishi Radha Gokulanandi ki jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gauri Nitai ki jai, Shishi Radha Damodar ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Okay. So, okay, here we go. So, there was a quote from the Brahma Samhita. So, every morning we are reciting prayers, verses from the Brahma Samhita, and because these a few prayers, there's a wonderful description of the Lord and his limbs and his dress or attire. Although we do recite them every day, sometimes I personally do it like an automatic pilot without thinking about what the meaning is. Of course, some of you may be meditating on the meanings, you know. So I'll go through a few. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhe Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all, and he has no other origin, and he is the prime cause of all causes. Chintamani prakara sadma shukalpa viksha laksha britesa surabira vipalayantam lakshmi sahasa satasam brahma sevyamanam govinda madipurusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor who is tending the cows, yielding all desires in abodes built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees, always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis or gopis. Venam kanvantam aravinda dulayataksham bharahavatam samasitam buddhasundarangam kandarpa koti kamani abhishesha shobam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept in playing on his flute, with blooming eyes like lotus petals and head decked with peacock's feather, with the figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness charming millions of cupids. Alola chandra kala sadva namalya vamsi ratnam gadam pranaya keli kala vilasham Shyamam Tribanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, around whose neck is swinging a garland of flowers beautified with the moon locket, whose two hands are adorned with the flute and jeweled ornaments, who always revels in pastimes of love, whose graceful threefold bending form of Shamasunda is eternally manifest. Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti pasyanti panti kalayanti chiram jaganti ananda chinmaya sadujvala vigrahasya govinda madi purusham tamam bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. See, like I said, splendid, you know. Each of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in himself the full-fledged functions of all the organs. So sometimes people, they say, when you put food on the plates there, they say, but Krishna didn't eat it, you know, because it's still there afterwards. You know? As it's explained, that actually Krishna, his body is so transcendental that any of his bodily limbs or any parts of his body can perform the function of any other. So Krishna can eat just by seeing, you know, or by hearing. So when I told one lady, she was from Greece, she had just come here first time, and I told her that we dress the deities, we change the outfits twice a day, we make fresh flower garlands, we offer incense and lamps and flowers, and we cook six times a day and we offer food. And she said, why do you do that? You know? And so I said, because in India, this is the traditional type of worship that's been going on for thousands of years. So the Lord is very, very kind. He has accepted a form that we can perceive, and then we can channel our service to, you know. And I said that everything comes from God. Everything that comes from God, that he doesn't need anything from us. He's supplying everything to us. So then if we take some of the things that he's supplied to us, and we offer it to him, but with love and affection, then the Lord will accept it. So I gave the analogy that, you know, Queen Elizabeth has got so many flowers in Buckingham Palace, but sometimes when she's out on a parade or a walk, if one small girl comes up and gives the Queen one flower, you know, so the Queen could say, well, you know, I've got loads of flowers in it. No, but she's saying, the Queen accepts it and is very happy with that because it's offered sincerely with affection. So similarly, everything that the Lord provides for us, if we try to offer it to him with love and devotion and great sincerity, then he accepts it, and we are the ones who are benefited. We become blessed by offering things to the Lord. So when I told her that it's an offering of love, and I told her, like I said, if you give your son some pocket money and he goes to the shop and he buys a bag of sweets, and then before he eats them all, he comes and he offers you the first one, then you think, oh, at least he managed to control his senses still, he's offering me the first one. But you know, you could have gone. You gave him the money to buy the things in the first place. If you could possibly buy the shop, you know, like that, but because he offered it to you. So then it means it's something special. It's something special. So she was so overwhelmed, she started to cry. You know, this lady, she said, oh, this is so amazing. She said, I've never heard anything like this before. And this is so beautiful, you know. So when people come and they see the form of the Lord, they definitely get purified. It's so beneficial. So the more one concentrates on the transcendental form of the Lord, the more one's intelligence becomes purified. And what does purified intelligence mean? Purified intelligence means that which detaches one from sense gratification. You know? And so avishuddha buddhaya means impure intelligence. So then those people who have impure intelligence, then they are attracted to all the things of the temporary material world, and they endeavor to rush after sense gratification. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is talking about how to develop detachment. So there's let's have a look here. So can anyone tell me what's a good way to develop detachment? Higher taste, yeah. That, yeah, very good. Yeah, so very good answers. So higher taste. And so some people, what they try to do is they say, I'm trying to give up this, I'm trying to give up that, I'm trying to give up cigarettes, I'm trying to give up, you know, alcohol, I'm trying to give this, I'm trying to give this, you know. So like the nuns, you know, it's none of this, none of that, none of this, you know. So they find they're trying to do the negating process, but actually our process that's been given to us by Srila Prabhupada and all the great acharyas is, it's not the giving up process, it's actually the taking up something better process. You know? So I give the analogy, if I'm drinking salt water, you know, and someone tries to grab my glass, I say, wait, where are you going with that? It's mine. But then if they come to me with a nice glass of cold mango juice, and I think, well, yeah, why was I drinking the salt water anyway? Take, you know, I'm happy, you know. So if we take up something better, you know, we take up the association of devotees, we take up loving devotional service, we take up prasadam, we take up, you know, transcendental knowledge. So then what happens is our desire for all the lower things, it actually naturally goes away. So when you turn the light on, you don't have to push out the darkness. The darkness goes automatically, you know. So it says, Krishna Surya Samahaya Maya Hoya Andhakar Jahan Krishna Tahan Maya Nahi Adhikar. So Krishna is like the sun. So wherever there's a sun, there's no question of darkness. So rather than trying to fight with Maya or trying to get rid of so many things that are so-called attachments, if we simply try to develop our attachment and a taste for serving, then naturally everything will come. So there's a couple of verses here from the Bhagavad Gita. So it says, Dayato Vishayan Pumsam Sangaste Shupajayate Sangat Sangjayate Kama Kamat Krodha Vijayate. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them, and from such attachment lust develops, and from lust anger arises. Krodhat Bhavati Sammoha Samohat Smriti Vibrama Smriti Brahmashad Buddhinasho Buddhinashad Pranashati. From anger, complete delusion arises, and from delusion, bewilderment of memory. And when memory is bewildered, the intelligence is lost, and one falls down. One intelligence is lost, and one falls down again into a material pool. So, basically explaining that if we maintain attachment to the objects of the senses, then eventually we'll find it very, very difficult, because eventually we'll become angry when we can't get that gratification from such attachment, from that lust. And then eventually we actually become deluded, the memory becomes deluded and we fall down. But it says that those who restrain their senses and keeping them under full control. So there's a verse, Tani Sarvani Samyamya Yukta Asita Matpara Vasehi Yasya Yandriyani Tasya Pragya Pratishtata. One who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control, and fixes his concentration, consciousness upon me, is known to be a man of steady intelligence. So by just engaging the senses in service of the master of the senses, then we will purify our senses, and ultimately we will become purified by that engagement. Okay. So there's that verse, Bhogeshwarya Prashaktanam Taya Prita Chetasam Vyavyas Atmika Buddhi Samadhona Vidyate. That those who are too much kind of after material sense gratification and opulence, for them the resolute purpose for devotional service doesn't take place. I gave the example once, like if you have a garden hose, but there's a lot of holes along the pipe, you know. So at the end, you only get a dribble, you know. So you can't really water the garden with a dribble. But so when our energy is diverted to so many other things, then our ability to have a resolute purpose in devotional service, that doesn't happen. But if by the association of saintly persons, if we are able to gain that higher understanding by chanting the holy name, by studying the scriptures, by acting in the nine processes of devotional service, then we can fix our mind and we can divert all our energies to the Lord. Okay, so it's 126. We've got another. There we go. Okay, so what are the qualities of someone who is actually practicing devotional service very nicely, and how does the Lord reciprocate with them? It's here. It's chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, text 13 and 14. Adveshta sarva bhutanam maitreya karuna evacha nirmamamo nirhankara samadukha sukhakshami shantushta satatam yogi yatatma dvida nishchaya mayarpita manubhudhir yomad bhakta same priya. One who is not envious but a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. So when I read that verse, it always reminded me of Shruti Prabhu, you know, Shruti Dharma Prabhu, you know. Because he was like loved by everyone, you know, even people who were difficult to deal with, you know, he somehow or other, he would, you know, manage to pacify them and bring a good out of them, you know. So such a saintly person. So then when we are putting all these principles of devotional service into practice, then we become very dear to the Lord. Sometimes people say, oh, you know, like they said, the universe, you know, if the universe is giving me suggestions, or, you know, I'm hearing the universe. So basically what they mean is that there's a higher energy or a higher power, but I don't want to call it God, you know, at the moment, you know. But there is, they accept there's something higher. So we understand that behind the universe, there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's, you know, the Virat Roop is there. We can see, when I go to the ocean, I see, oh, Krishna says, of bodies of water, I am the ocean, you know. I am the sun and moon, those are my eyes. So in the world, we can train our mind that we see Krishna everywhere. Andantaranu paramayanu chayantrasam. Even within every atom, the Lord is present in every atom. So the devotee who is trained in Krishna consciousness, then for him he's never separated from the Lord. He is always with the Lord. He can feel his presence everywhere. So if we follow the footsteps of the great acharyas and cultivate humility, compassion, and determination, and then take shelter of the association of sadhus, you know, saintly people, And we take shelter of the holy name of the Lord and become an instrument to preach this message of Krishna consciousness, to preach the message of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to help the conditioned souls of this world. So, myself and Pranabandhu, we went to one house in Croydon. We went to visit one old lady. She was nearly 70. We had to get some paperwork done from her. And she told us something amazing. She said her husband was a devotee of Krishna, but externally he wasn't too kind of showing off. But she said at one point he was sitting there on the couch and he was looking at the picture on the wall of that famous picture of Radha and Krishna on the swing. So he was looking at the picture and then he turned to her and she said, he said, put on some transcendental sound vibrations. So she put a CD of Bhagavad Gita. So he's meditating on this picture. Then he looked at her and he said, okay, I'm going now, so take care of yourself. And he meditated on the picture of Radha and Krishna and left his body. Right? Yeah. You know, no hospital bed, no, incapacitated. But somehow or other, so he managed to, he must have just detached himself from everything and just thought, okay, I've done my duties now, Haribol. So, you never know who's out there. Because sometimes we think, oh, you know, I'm wearing a nice neck beads and nice tilak and dhoti and kurta, I'm a big devotee, you know. But you never know, you know. There's some great souls, you know, and sometimes then incognito. So, you know, respect all living beings, you know, and always, you know, be compassionate. Always try to see the good in others, you know. And, you know, we've got such a beautiful temple here. We've got such an amazing facility. There's so many people that are coming here. Krishna is sending them. Last night, I was hoovering the carpet in the tent there. And this young lady and her mother came and they missed darshan. But I said to them, oh, there's a Vrindavan room. You can have a look there. And there's a class going on. And Bhakta Ian was giving the class. So anyway, they stayed for the class. And then this lady was so inspired by hearing the class that she bought the Bhagavad Gita from Ian. You know? Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, the devotee is preaching so nicely. People come immediately, they're attracted, you know. And she took some Mahaprasad. They stayed even for the 9 o'clock aarti to see the deity. So then they left very, very happy, you know. So all of you have so many amazing, you know, abilities, and you're all special people, you know, otherwise you wouldn't be here. So my humble request to all of you is, if somehow or other, within your day, if you can find a little bit of time to share some of the nectar that you are experiencing with those that are not as fortunate as yourself, then you'll be helping to fulfill the mission of the whole parampara, and you yourself will become so happy when you see these other souls are there. So I've run quite a bit over time, as usual, so I think I better stop there. But thank you so much for your attention and for your patience. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Vaishnav Sangha Vaishnav Seva ki, Sri Harinam Prabhu ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande.